charts up here behind me. This is church history chart, and this here is a chart of how God has dealt with man at different times in history, which is pretty neat. You can pick up a Bible and look at it, and a lot of people do this. They do this every day. Millions of times every day they'll pick up the Bible and they say, oh, this is what I need for today. Oh, hear, O sons, the instruction of your father, and give attention to you that may gain understanding. I give you a teaching. And then it goes on here, but this is Proverbs. Now, the Bible is not a Ouija board. It's not an answer book that you just go like this. And there it is. Velasa, you like to read a lot of books, don't you? And Marilyn, you read books. And Sharon, you read books, don't you? Yeah, you read a lot of books. Now, when you read a book, you just don't open it up and say, this is for me today, do you? No. You don't do that with the Bible either. Now, on your little book or little handout that I gave to you here, there are some basic things. The Bible is a book. It's 66 books. Actually, 66. 66 books. And it is history. And it is doctrine. And sometimes it's a song book. A song book. You know what a song book is? Psalms. Psalms. A lot of the Psalms are song books. And it's prophecy also. Now, I'm teaching quite a few different classes. I'm teaching about dreams, visions, and hypnosis in the Bible. We've gone through, I think, 19 of those classes. We're doing church history right now. We're doing church history and the evolution of theology and understanding about God. If you look up here above you, there's a lot of books up there. Hundreds of books. And these here, they're handwritten books. Those are of the New Testament. And then there below is handwritten books of the Old Testament. There are language books there. How the Greek language is put together, and how the Hebrew language is put together, and Latin and German, and the different things you have to study to read, like Kyle and Delish, which is a commentary on the Old Testament. And a pastor asked me one time, he said, Brother Jim, he said, you're my Bible answer man. He said, I want you to ask me, answer me something. I've got some real smart students, and I'm not up on all this stuff. And he asked me a question from the Old Testament, from the book of Hebrews, referring to the Old Testament. And I said, yes. I said, do you have Colin DeLeish? He said, yeah, I got it. I said, look it up in there on volume number 2, and so on, so on, so on, so on. He says, Brother Jim, he said, I can't read Colin DeLeish. Because it's written in Greek and Hebrew and German and Latin. And English too, but a lot of it is in the other languages. Now, when I went to school to study the Bible, a lot of people just told me, they said, don't study the Bible. You don't need to study the Bible. Just get up and God will fill your mouth. You've heard of that probably, some people. That's not true. God does guide me when I teach a lot of times, yes. But if you're going to teach from a book, the Bible, which is made up of 66 books, telling you about history, telling you about doctrine, telling you about prophecy. You can go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in Hebrew is Bereshit. Okay? And it means beginnings. It's a book of beginnings. It tells you how God created the heavens and the earth, etc., etc., how He created man, how He created the animals. And it tells you a lot of things about culture. In the book of Genesis, you have the beginning of government. You have the beginning of religion. You have the beginning of false religion. You have the beginning of true religion. And you have a absolute battleground of religions. Now, way back in time, in eternity past, actually before time, back there, God created angels. He created spirits. And he created, what else?
Demons. The demons.
Well, no, he didn't create demons, did he?
He didn't.
No, demons. When demons are spirits.
Spirits, I mean.
Okay, way back in eternity past, he created angels and he created spirits.
Yeah.
And everything he created was good. Okay? But some of it became bad. Because everything has volition. It has a will. You know what a will is? You do certain things, and your conscience will say, don't do this, do this, whatever, you know. All spirits and all angels have will. And back in eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth, didn't he? But he created an audience before he created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that when God created the heavens and the earth, that the angels praised him and the spirits all praised and sang choruses of music as he created the heavens and the earth. And just saying, hallelujah, praise God, praise Jehovah. As they saw the beauty of all this. You go out here, and especially here in Nevada, you look up in the sky at nighttime most nights, like 99 out of 100, you can see hundreds of stars, can't you? God created that in eternity past. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us also in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing. Paul was a tent maker. Did you know that? He made tents. And he was a leather worker. And material has always been very expensive, especially before we have mass production in looms and factories. Every piece of cloth took many, many hours to make even 1 square foot of cloth. Now, he said, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a man that is able to rightly divide the word truth. The word of truth. Now, the Bible is truth. Science, they say, some people say science is a touchstone of everything. I say the Bible is a touchstone of everything, because many times science is wrong, isn't it? They find out we did something wrong, and really it wasn't that way. Have you ever studied the evolution of scientific thinking? Well, it'll really surprise you. The earth was flat. Did you know that? And the Catholic Church taught that the earth was flat. Muhammad taught that the earth was flat. He said he taught that there were 7 earths. There's only 1 earth. But he had an idea that there were 7 earths. Flat earths. And you look out here, you see these mountains out here? Muhammad said that God put mountains on the earth to hold the dirt down, because it would blow away. He's got the idea that the earth was like a flat piece of ground, but the dust would blow away and everything would blow away if there weren't mountains to holding the ground down. Now that's something that a child would think, isn't it? A child would come up something like that. But what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that the earth is round. Basically, it's a circuit. The Bible teaches that the mountains are there, all right. And that the mountains, the Bible teaches at one time, looking at this globe up here, that all of, in one area, all of it was earth, dirt. And in the other area, all of it was water. And in the book of Genesis, it says, in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. That's why we have continents now. And then if you look at the continents, you can realize where they actually had fit together at one time. And the science calls this the continental drift theory. The continental drift area. Now, we know historically and geographically and scientifically that the earth at one time had water on one side and earth on the other. And then something caused it to come apart, to balance itself, they say, or whatever. But God caused it to drift apart. If you look at Africa and South America, and just look at the cultures in South America and in Africa, okay? Are they the same? Did the South Americans build pyramids? Did Africa, Egypt build pyramids? Yes. Were they advanced in the study of what we might call the study of the stars? Yep. Medicine? Yep. They were just a lot alike. Did they have one ruler ruling over masses of people? Yeah. Yes. So we see that. We see the cultures. the Mormons. You heard? You know what a Mormon is? Well, Joseph Smith started a religion called Mormonism. He said the angel Moroni visited him and told him that a long time ago that the Jews, the Jewish people over there, decided to get in a boat and they built a submarine. And they got in this submarine and they aimed that submarine out and it was going across the Atlantic Ocean and it landed. Of course, they had trouble. First of all, it was stuffy in there. So God told them to drill a hole in the top thereof and the bottom thereof, and that they would get water. In a submarine, if you drill a hole in the bottom thereof and the top thereof, what happens?
It sinks.
It sinks. Joseph Smith didn't know much about sailing, and he sure didn't know much about God. He said that the Mormons, or that the ancient people, Jews, came to America, and some of them sinned, and God turned them dark. He turned some of the Indians very dark because they were bad sinners, like black people, okay? He said black people were cursed of God, and that they never could attain to the presidency of the Mormon Church because they were cursed of God. If you were black or dark complected, you were cursed. Okay? But he said also that these Jews came over here and they established great civilizations in America. You know what? The Jews aren't related to the American Indians at all. They're Asian, according to science and DNA. Joseph Smith was wrong. But Joseph Smith started a whole religion upon a false premise. People would always ask back in the 1600s, 1500s, 1400s, how did the American Indians get here? There was a lieutenant called Charles B. Gatewood that dealt with the Apache Indians. And I have his book there that he wrote. And he worked with Crook. And he worked with Britton Davis. With the Apache, what they call the Apache Wars in Arizona, New Mexico, and through that area. Charles B. Gatewood did not like how the American government was treating the Indian people. He was a friend of Geronimo. And he said in his writings that if it would be known the Mormons are wrong, a lot of people are wrong, he said, I believe the American Indians were always here and they're of Asian origin. Guess what? The Indians were always here and they're of Asian origin. They're not Jews. My DNA does not show that at all. I'm almost about 7/8 Indian. I'm a 1/32 Scots, a tiny bit of a Italian, and a little bit of French. Wait, a little bit. None of that blood goes back to the Jews. If you look at a high-blooded Indian, he or she is going to have Oriental eyes. Did you know that? I can take pictures of me, of myself, when I was young, and you'll say, when I went to school, There weren't too many Indians out there in Fairfax, California, and east of Bakersfield. And the Mexicans didn't know what I was, and the white people sure didn't know what I was. And so they messed with me all the time because I was different. They hadn't seen too many high-blooded Indians. They would come up and start talking to me. I was arrested 2 times for being an illegal alien in my life. Did you know that? I was arrested 2 times for being an illegal alien. They stopped me and put handcuffs on me, and they said, "Where's your green card?" And I said, "My people have been here forever." I said, "Can't you understand from my language, from my speech, from my dialect, that I'm not from Mexico? Do I sound like a Mexican?" Well, they uncuffed me and turned me loose 2 times. Well, the Mexicans thought I was a Mexican sometimes, except I looked different. They never accused me of being a white man. I wasn't that at all. They knew that. But getting all back to all of that, we are not Jews. God put us in this land, and we've been here forever. When God divided the earth, we were here. Now, it says that Nimrod built a tower in Babylon, the Tower of Babel. And that they went up there and they had a one world religion, and God told them to scatter and multiply. They didn't do it. So at that time, the world all spoke one language. And so God divided and confused the languages, and they went to where they could understand each other. Now, Velasta, you speak several languages. How many?
Four
languages. All right. So you can kind of wander around all over Europe and even in America and England, and you can understand each other. But what if you could only understand one language, and you went around all over, you were trying to find some place where you could speak that language and get along with these people? Communicate, huh? Now, I know that in Europe, I've been in Europe and in the Middle East and all of that over there, most Europeans can speak a half a dozen languages. Because they have to. You go, countries over there are like states in America. They're little countries, and you just go from one place to the other. You go from the Netherlands, you go to Germany, you go to Russia, you go to different Finland, Poland, all of this, and they have different languages, don't they? But they, when God divided the languages, they went to where they could understand each other, and the Indians came over here. And by the way, there are about 3,000 Indian languages in the Americas. Now, my whole audience here is female today, except when it goes out all over the world. Do you know that in the American Indian languages, there were several American Indian languages that the women and the men spoke different languages? Yeah. Now, sometimes we say today that a woman, when a woman says something, it's not what a man thinks. Isn't that right? In a lot of ways, the Bible shows us all these truths. But people will take off on some weird idea, like Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and Charles Taze Russell, and Judge Rutherford, and they'll take the Bible and twist it up to try to say what they say. Now, the Mormon church today, they say they study the King James Bible, but the other complements to the Bible are the Book of Mormon and the Doctrines of Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price, which are right there. Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Mormon have nothing to do with the Bible nor interpretation of the Bible. Zero. You can go and get all of the Jehovah's Witnesses books or even Catholicism. Now, you go get a Catholicism, and that whole area right there is nothing but Catholicism. Right there, Catholicism. And you'll get their dogmas and their teachings and their catechism. And you go to the catechism, and they'll teach you this. The one thing that they do to you is they teach you Mary is the mother of God. Is that true? Is Mary the mother of God? No.
Mother
Is Mary a god? No. Is Mary a deity in any way? No. Can Mary forgive your sins? No. The Bible says that there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ Jesus. When we ask God to forgive us in Jesus' name, we can be forgiven. Not through Mary, not through Joseph, not through any of the prophets, so-called, or the saints. The Catholic Church began to invent saints. And the saints could... And what is a saint, by the way? What is the Catholic's idea of a saint? Somebody that lives such a holy life. Now, Sharon, you went to catechism. You remember the Catholic Church at one time. A saint is somebody that lived such a holy life that they had excess grace left over. Nobody ever lived that kind of life, did they? According to the Word of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have. That means the so-called saints too. Paul could not forgive your sins. Peter cannot forgive your sins. False premises from the Bible. The Catholic Church founds their church upon who? Peter. They say that Matthew 16 and 18, this is, "You're Peter," Jesus said, "and upon this rock I'll be building my church." And they say, Peter is the rock. But no. Peter says that Jesus was the rock. But Catholicism teaches that the church was built upon Peter. Is that true or false? False. They have the same Bible we have. They have a little more books because they have the Apocrypha in there, but I have Bibles with the Apocrypha in it. I've read all the Apocrypha. I've read all the extra biblical books also. They're over there in that end. The Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Peter, the Gospel of Judas. There's even one of them out there. Now, Judas was prophesied in the Old Testament. What's prophecy mean? That means to say something before it happens. 1,000 years before Judas was born, the Bible said that he would betray our Lord. That's the only disciple of Jesus in the New Testament that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Not Peter, not anybody else, but Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas Iscariot, that is basically a Hebrew name. Iscariot. Issa means what? I have Issa written right here. Aish is man. Iscariot. Man from Carioth. His family came from an area called Carioth. Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas Iscariot was an apostle, wasn't he? He was a treasurer in the church. Now, the churches, a lot of churches start the church on the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day after the resurrection, basically. But the church was started when? What does the word church mean?
Ecclesia
is a word. It comes from ekklesio in Greek. See, these look like Greek letters. Not Greek, but Russian. Because Russian comes from Greek. And you know Russian. All right. Ekklesio means one's called out. When did Jesus begin calling his church out? At the seashores of Galilee. He made him call that church out. What happened to that church on the day of Pentecost? It wasn't started there, but it was empowered by the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? And they had gifts in the church. And we talked about that the last church history class. Gifts that people would have. Wouldn't it be nice, Velasta, when you went to a different nation? You were born in what nation?
What do you mean?
Where?
In Soviet.
What you want?
In the Soviet.
In the Soviet?
Soviet.
Oh, Soviet. Soviet.
Yes.
Okay, Soviet. In the Soviet nation. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if when you'd gone to Poland or the Netherlands, and where else did you go? The Netherlands
and Germany and France. And
Germany and France and all that. How about it if you could just learn instantly, you could understand what those people said?
I would like to.
See, that's what the gift of languages was in the Bible. But people now, they confuse it because a lot of these people talking in tongues. They call talking in tongues. But talking in tongues is not biblical. It didn't come from the Bible. It come from paganism. Because the pagans talked in tongues. They got a message from God. The languages in Bible, the interpretation of the language and the speaking of those languages where the apostles could go out and teach in these different people, was a gift from God that you could instantly learn those languages, like French, parlez-vous français, see, French, or German, or Russian, or Polish, or Finnish, or whatever those languages that you learn, you instantly learned it, biblically. But you just didn't carry this thing, and it didn't go on and on and on. It doesn't go on today. It happened back then. And why did they have those gifts? So that they could preach the gospel wherever they went. So they could preach the gospel wherever they went. Now, when you read the Bible, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it comes from 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Bible. And that's in the New Testament. Now, Paul wrote this to Timothy. And Timothy was going to be a pastor of a church. And, by the way, as Paul was giving this letter to Timothy, that became part of the New Testament. And we study this today. We still study the whole book of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, both of them. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians. We have the book of Philemon. We have 1 and 2 Peter. We have James. We have the book of Jude. You know that the book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother? Mary's one of her other children. Now, the Catholic Church said that Mary didn't have any other children, but the Bible named several children that Mary had besides Jesus, and one of them is the writer of the book of James, the brother of our Lord. He's his half-brother. He's from Mary and Joseph. Jesus is from Mary, not Joseph. And there was another one of Jesus' brothers that wrote another book in the Bible. You know which book that was? Yehuda.
Yehuda.
Yehuda. We say it in English, Jude. But in Hebrew, it's Yehuda. The book of Jude. The book of Jude is very short, just one chapter book. But it was written by Jesus' brother, his half-brother, Jude, Judas. See, his name was Judas also. Judas was a real good name, or Yehuda was a real good name. But and it means praise Jehovah. That's what it means, praise Jehovah. Jesus had a brother named James, and Jesus had a brother named Judas, or Yehuda, or Jude. Okay? Now, when you study the Bible, what you must understand, who is speaking? Who is doing the writing? If we study this 2 Timothy 2:15, who wrote it? Paul wrote it. Who did he write it to? Timothy. Can we apply this to ourselves? In a way, yes, but it is a direct command to Timothy. But as a preacher today, it's a command to me also. Because I'm a pastor of a church, and even as you, as church members, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why do you study the Bible? So that you can know that you're doing what God wants you to do. Okay? You want to do that? You want to do what God wants you to do? You do that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. The Bible leaves us here in the world. Now, when he saves you, he doesn't zap you up in the Netherland. Okay? He doesn't go zip and you're gone. He could have done that, but he didn't. He never has done that. Only two times in the Bible did anybody get zapped up to God. Do you know who those two people were? That's a type of the rapture. Enoch in the book of Genesis, and who else? Elijah. Two people were transported to heaven. To show us that in the last times, at the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Now, Paul there is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And the subject there is that people were teaching wrongly about the second coming of Jesus. So that there in 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians is to correct. It's a correction of what the second coming is and is not. And Paul said, don't worry about it. You're not, there's nobody gone up to heaven yet. The rapture hasn't come yet. So the Bible says, who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what is the most important thing? What is the subject of it? Can you just take the Bible and just open it up and just read it like a Ouija board or like your daily, what they call, horoscope? No. That's not the way you study the Bible. Now, it would be real easy if you could do that, wouldn't it? But Paul told Timothy, study. Now, Solomon said, Solomon was one of the most brilliant men in the history of mankind. Did you know that? Adam was too. But Solomon said, study is hard work. I went to the seminary 12 years and I studied extension courses from two or three seminaries besides that. To have a doctorate of Bible languages, you had to have 185 units of credit in class, and you had to translate one book in the Old Testament, major book, not the book of Jonah or Zephaniah or something like that. You had to translate a book like Exodus or Genesis. Most people just did Exodus. And you had to translate one major book in the New Testament, like John, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or Acts, or Romans, or Revelation. I translated all of the New Testament, as you know, and a whole lot of the Old Testament. I taught all of the book of Genesis on classes, and I'm doing the book of Exodus right now. I did all the book of Jonah also, and parts of Malachi and Jeremiah and other books, Ezekiel and Daniel. It's hard work. It's hard work. When I was teaching Hebrew and Greek at California Missionary Baptist Institute, when I went to school for the first week in seminary, I had two teachers appoint me as their assistant teachers, and here I was a freshman. And they appointed me to advanced postgraduate classes. Wow. And here I am, this little Indian boy. And they're wanting me to teach their advanced classes. One of them was Dr. Carl E. Farrar, and the other one was Dr. Travis Hubbard, H.T. Hubbard, Harold Travis Hubbard. A lot of people didn't even know what H stood for. It's Harold Travis Hubbard. When I got into the classroom and when I taught Brother Farrar's class, they said, you teach it, it's so easy for you. I said, did you read these books? No. I did, and a whole lot more. And then when I got into Greek and the Hebrew, they said, it's so easy for you. I said, how many of the New Testament books did you translate? Not one person had translated one book. I said, I translated them all. If you do that, then you will know this. And maybe it'll act like it's easy, but it's not. Not easy. God gave me a good mind, a real good memory, a photographic memory, but I had to study it all. I remembered what page numbers in the lexicons that a preposition came from, or a noun came from, or whatever. I wrote them all down in my translations. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are history books in the New Testament. Did you know that? History books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells you about the ministry of Jesus Christ and how that he was born, who he was born, what happened to him when he was born, what was going on when he was born. And his life, it talks about when he was about 12 years old, that he stayed back in Jerusalem when they had gone there for the feast. And he stayed back behind the caravan that was going back to Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. God told Joseph to take him down to Egypt because Herod the Great was going to try to kill him. And then he told him to bring him back up, and he lived in Nazareth, so he went back there and was raised in Nazareth. And by the way, Jesus was not a carpenter. You hear that? Jesus was a carpenter. He was a stonemason. There was very little carpentry done back in those days. He didn't build houses. He built stone for houses. He was a stonemason. And the terms that he used are stonemason terms. Joseph was a stonemason. There's a lot of use for a stonemason down in Egypt, isn't there? They're all the time building tombs and monuments down there. Well, he had an open door down there. And he came back up and he goes to Nazareth. And most of the houses in the Middle East and in Israel are built out of what? Stone. Stone. He had a wide open job employment situation there. The Bible says the same term for carpenter is the same term for stonemason. Basic, it's technos. But all of the surrounding, what we might call evidence, is that Jesus was a stonemason and that Joseph was a stonemason. By the way, stonemasons are strong people. Did you know that? Very strong. You're dealing with rocks, big rocks. And you're dealing with it by hand. They cut stones. They drill and chisel and flatten stones to make buildings out of. That's hard work. Jesus worked hard. He was a hard worker. Now, the Bible says that all Scripture is inspired of God. It didn't say anything about the book of Enoch, even though part of the book of Enoch is surely inspired of God. It's quoted in the New Testament. The book of Enoch is quoted almost in every book in the New Testament, actually. And we have the book of Jasher, Hasaver Yasher, in Hebrew. And he was a historian. Now, the book of Jasher is not inspired, but the book of Jasher gives us a lot of information on what's going on while the Bible's being written. It kind of fills in the differences. Do you know that the women in the Bible are greatly overlooked? Do you agree? Sharon, do you agree? The women in the Bible are greatly overlooked. Their names aren't even written down there. Most of them. You got Bathsheba.
Ruth.
Huh?
Ruth.
Esther. Ezra. Esther. You know, we see these names, but they're very important people. But who was Noah's wife? The Bible doesn't say, does it?
There were three.
No. Noah had one wife.
One wife?
Yeah, Noah had one
Keturah?
Wife. Yeah, well, Noah had one wife.
Was it Keturah?
No. You're talking about Abraham. Abraham had three wives.
Abraham, okay.
Abraham had three wives. It does give us their names. But Noah's wife, the book of Jasher tells you what her name was. The book of Jasher tells you what lineage she was from. Everything. Tells about all these things like that. It's not inspired, but the New Testament and the Old Testament quote the book of Jasher. We want to know, remember Moses? Moses? Moshe in the Bible? He's the one that was born there in Egypt, and his family were slaves. Except his family was, what did Moses' family do? Were they making mud bricks?
Goldsmiths.
They were goldsmiths. Goldsmiths. And these people were never enslaved like the other tribes were, because they were high quality technicians. They were gold and silver workers. Now, when Moses went up on the mountain, Sinai, after God took Israel out, who was a goldsmith down at the foot of that mountain doing some work?
Aaron
was. Yeah. What did he do?
He made a calf.
He carved a calf out, and he beat gold and put all over that calf, and he said, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt." Yuck. And his sons, Aaron, all of his family were goldsmiths. That was Moses' brother. It tells of who Moses' sister was, Marian. You know that Muhammad got Moses' sister and Mary, Joseph's wife, mixed up. He thought they were the same people. That's not much inspired, is it? We see all of these different things in the Bible. Did you learn something today? A little bit. You learned about the origins of some religions and everything. We're going to go back and we're going to look at this really closely as we come down to the church age. One thing, the Bible is not a Ouija board. It is not your horoscope. But it is an instruction manual. But when you read each and every book, all 66 books, and they all have a message. And they all have a writer. They all have a who's speaking and who's he speaking to and what's the subject. Is that not right? Can you take all of the book of Job and say this is what God wants you to do? You know what? Some of the words in the book of Job are Satan's words. Some of it are ungodly buzzards that were Job's friends, and God put them down. So you look who's he speaking to, and what's the subject. Very simple, isn't it? You do that when you're reading a book, don't you? Sharon, you're reading a book about history right now. If you get confused, you'll think that the Danish were the French, and et cetera, et cetera. You got to keep things all separated. That's the way you do the Bible also. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our study of your word here. As we put things together from your word, help us to understand it better always. Please forgive